The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of this station. Content is for educational purposes only. Consult a financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence if investing. Calls are pre-screened and the show was pre-recorded earlier this week. Rick is with Edelman Financial Engines, a part of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, and the investment advisor that furnishes this program. Barron's has ranked Edelman Financial Services as the number one independent advisory firm in the nation based on assets managed, team size, experience, and regulatory record. Firms self-nominate. Investor returns and experience are not considered. Edelman combined with Financial Engines Advisors in November 2018.
This is the Rick Edelman Show. Edelman Financial Engines is the number one ranked investment advisor in the country by Barron's. Now, here's Rick Edelman.
And a very happy weekend to you. Rick Edelman here on The Truth About Money. 888-PLAN-RICK is our telephone number. Whatever you want to talk about, investments, taxes, mortgages, insurance, college planning, retirement planning, buying houses, leasing cars, getting out of debt, whatever's on your mind in the field of personal finance, that's what we're going to talk about. 888-752-6742. Well, I got some bad news for you. You went and did it again. Yeah, in the month of August, you know we just finished the month of August. In the month of August, Americans withdrew $46 billion worth of stock mutual funds. They sold them out of fears that the stock market was going to fall, and they bought $14 billion worth of bond funds. So investors took a ton of money out of stocks and put a ton of money into bonds. Why? Because during the month of August, the S&P 500 fell about 1.5%. While the bond market, the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index, was up 2.6. So the stock market's going down, the bond market's going up, and so what do? You sell stocks and buy bonds. Now, I know you might think that's the right thing to do. Wait a minute, you're saying to yourself, if the stock market's going down and the bond market's going up, shouldn't I be selling stocks to buy bonds? Sell the one that's going down, buy the one that's going up? Doesn't that make sense? No, it doesn't.
What you have done is wrong.
It doesn't make any sense at all, and here's why. If you're selling the asset that goes down, wait a minute, it's already down. You're selling it at a loss. And if you're buying the asset that goes up, you're buying it after it has risen. In other words, you're selling low to buy high. Excuse me, that's backwards. That's not how you create wealth. You know the rule. Buy low, sell high. Buy it when it's low. Sell it when it's high. You're doing the exact opposite. And investors have been doing the exact opposite for decades. The Dalbar study on quantitative investor behavior shows time and time again over the past 30 years that investors notoriously sell assets after they went down and they buy them after they went up. No wonder you're not making as much money as you want to make. No wonder you're not making as much money as is provided by the financial markets themselves. You've got to stop engaging in this market timing scenario. You've got to stop allowing your emotions to dictate your investment behavior. Let me ask you this. If you had money to invest today, you just found $100,000 on the street. You just won $100,000 in the lottery. You just got $100,000 inheritance. You just won a $100,000 lawsuit. You've got $100,000 in your pocket you didn't have yesterday. And you have nothing to do but invest it. Let me ask you this. Are you more excited about putting the money into stocks right now, or are you more excited about putting the money into an indexed annuity right now? Well, we see the numbers of what's happening in the industry according to the data that is being provided by LIMRA, which is an insurance industry research organization, and the Treasury Department, and the Fed, and the Investment Company Institute, which tracks mutual fund flows. We see the data from everyone, and they're all saying the same thing. Investors are not likely to put money into the stock market right now because they fear that stocks are down and falling further, while sales of indexed annuities have hit a record level in the second quarter.
No!
Yeah. Yeah. Investors placed $20 billion into indexed annuities in the second quarter of this year. That's 18% more money than they put in last year. LIMRA says that $70 billion will be placed into annuity products by the end of this year. It has caused the SEC to issue an investor bulletin. Some state securities commissioners are noticing an increase of activity among insurance agents who aren't licensed to give you advice on securities, they are improperly recommending that people liquidate their 401ks, their IRAs, and their stock funds in order to move the money into indexed annuities. They're doing it without the legal authority or the expertise or licensing to be able to do it. I've got to be really careful. And here's the irony. At the same time that so many American investors are moving their money out of stock funds and into bonds, the Treasury Department says that foreign investors put $64 billion into U.S. stocks in the month of June. Foreign investors are doing the exact opposite of you. Foreign investors are saying, we're looking for the best investment opportunity anywhere on the planet, and we are finding that the U.S. stock market is a place we want to be. $64 billion added to U.S. stocks by foreign investors in the month of June alone. It's the most recent month for which we have data. This is why you've got to be really careful that you aren't making a short-term emotional decision when what you're trying to do are make long-term effective decisions, because too often our emotions really get in our way. And you've got to be careful along the way, because in your efforts to find the right investment opportunity for you, I mentioned that state securities regulators are concerned that insurance agents are encouraging people to buy annuity products, even though they don't have the proper licensing to give you advice about your stock funds or your 401ks or IRAs. There are a lot of folks out there who are blatant, outright frauds. The SEC this week just shut down a $300 million fraud, defrauded 50 investors. In other words, they invested an average of $6 million each. The pitch was a short-term, high-interest loan, and people went for it, and they lost $300 million. The SEC also says that Cetera Advisors, a brokerage firm you may have heard of, failed to disclose conflicts of interest and earned $10 million from 2012 through 2016, according to the SEC. Cetera failed to act in their clients' best interests. They told their clients to put their money into mutual funds that cost more and which paid Cetera more in revenue, when Cetera knew that alternative investments, identical except for cost, were readily available, and they didn't disclose it to their clients. I'll give you another area of fraud you got to watch out for. In the wake of the Hurricane Dorian that we just went through, fraud and phishing attempts online to get you to donate to hurricane relief organizations. Be careful, because a lot of crooks are playing on your emotions again to get you to send money. Well, you think you're giving it to the Red Cross when in fact you're giving it to some crooked organization. Make sure you know who you're dealing with. And this has been hitting home. I had a long conversation with Todd Hillstead. Todd is one of our advisors here at Edelman Financial Engines. He's in our Salt Lake City office. Todd said that in the last 6 weeks alone, he's met half a dozen people who've come to our office for the first time seeking our help. All of them have been victims recently of various frauds and Ponzi schemes and crazy investment proposals, and all of them lost money. He said one guy bought a bunch of rare coins from a dealer who had the strategy of trading silver. The guy lost $1 million, and he got his entire family involved. The whole family lost collectively $3 million. Another client got involved in a high interest financing deal, supposedly was going to pay 14% in interest. Instead, they lost millions of dollars. There was a custodian who set up a self-directed IRA supposedly to buy real estate on behalf of a client. The custodian never did it. They took the money from the client, spent it on trips. The clients lost over $500,000. Another client got caught up in a commodities trading strategy. They lost $40,000. Common themes to all of these, Todd was describing to me. These were individuals who were chasing returns. Does that sound at all familiar to something you might be doing? Are you trying to chase returns? Are you saying, I'm only earning 1% in my bank account. Somebody here is offering me 8%. They claim it's guaranteed. They claim I'll get money monthly. Really? You're chasing returns. And this kind of get rich quick, this kind of oh, you can only get it here from me first, is more likely to hurt you rather than harm you. And the sad part of all of this, Todd says that all of these were very smart and educated people. How did they get suckered, therefore? How did they fall victim to this? The answer? was very simple and an all-too-common tale. The investments in each case were recommended to these people, not by some stranger who cold-called them or they went to a free lunch seminar. No, these investments were recommended to them by a close friend or someone they met at church or a friend of a friend. Most of the salespeople they encountered eventually came to their homes. These are folks who work out of a suitcase. They don't have an office. They're not a big, legit organization. This is known among regulators as affinity fraud. Your guard goes down when a good friend of yours says, I just invested in X and I'm really excited about it. Or you go to church and the pastor says, look what I've invested in. Meet so-and-so who's an avid member of the church. Your guard goes down. And people who are making these recommendations to you, they're getting ripped off too. They don't know it yet. It's not like they're out to defraud you. They're your friends. They're your family. They're your church members. They're being defrauded too, and they don't know it yet. Be very careful when someone offers you an investment that looks too good to be true, that seems a unique, limited offer, limited time opportunity, quick, act now. You need to watch yourself. And when we come back on the program here on the Rick Edelman Show, I'm going to tell you of another scandal that has also hit too close to home, and a warning for you. Anytime anyone mentions to you anything about Rick Edelman or Edelman Financial Engines, stay tuned for that. And your phone calls right here on the Rick Edelman Show. 888-PLAN-RICK online at ricedelman.com.
Named by Talkers Magazine as one of the Heavy 100 talk show hosts in America, this is The Rick Edelman Show.
Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of The Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In 3 decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard, and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And, well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage. It's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are 2 pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
I will be right here waiting for
a solo acoustic evening with Richard Marx. Saturday, November 9th, 8 p.m., Tulalip Resort Casino.
Start it up, keep it going at Batteries Plus Bulbs, plus phone repair, plus key fobs. Stop by Batteries Plus Bulbs for screen repair, key fob programming, and any battery or light bulb you need. 10 easy locations from Olympia to Everett, and now open in Arlington, batteriesplus.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Edelman Show. Thanks for being with us here on the program. 888-PLAN-RICK is our telephone number. I was just sharing with you of the bad news of today's economic environment. It's not that the economy is bad. It's not that we're headed into a recession. It's not that you need to be fearful about the stock market. The problem is that people are being fearful for no particular reason. They look at volatility and they say if the stock market's going down, it will continue to go down. You know, psychologists call this recency bias, and you need to guard yourself against it. Just because prices went down doesn't mean they're going to continue to go down. That's sort of like saying, oh my goodness, it's raining, it will never stop raining. Well, of course it's going to stop raining. And on the same basis, you need to protect yourself, because it's periods of time like this that the crooks come out, where they offer you get-rich-quick schemes. They offer you promises of preventing you from avoiding losses, and they end up saddling you with either illegal or fraudulent investments, or those that are simply underperforming, that don't generate the rates of return that you need or offer the liquidity necessary to help you achieve your financial goals. You got to be on the lookout. Well, I told you a couple of weeks ago that Dawn Bennett, who was a financial advisor who hosted a radio show around the country, she was sentenced to 20 years in prison for committing a Ponzi scheme. Well, now her associate, Bradley Masco of Frederick, Maryland, he was just sentenced to 30 months in federal prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release for helping Dawd Bennett defraud her clients of that $20 million. He was also ordered to repay $5 million in restitution. He was Dawn Bennett's CFO. And what we have to simply recognize is that, this is just like really totally inappropriate and despicable. As the chief financial officer for Dawn Bennett, he assisted her in ripping off consumers to the tune of $20 million. Masco admitted that he lied under oath and that he made false statements to the SEC, all under Dawn Bennett's direction and at her assistance. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come? And so the crazy part of the story, as you may recall, is that Dawn Bennett not only ripped off all these people and she was being investigated by the SEC and the FBI, she was raided by the FBI. And when they went through her house and they went into her refrigerator, they discovered they discovered a bunch of hoodoo potions and incantations that Dawn Bennett was using in a desperate effort to get the regulators off her trail. And I don't really think it actually worked, but she gave it a shot. And so it's really rather sad that we saw the whole thing. So now her associate is in prison as well, but unfortunately, the victims are not likely to see any of their money. Well, we had a situation here in our own firm where we had somebody saying something, doing something about Edelman Financial Engines that itself was astonishing and despicable. A guy who was apparently a one-man show, a one-man operation, operating out of Ohio, decided to run radio ads in the past week. And in the ad, the entire ad was about financial engines. He made an astonishing claim. Here's a short clip from his radio ad.
Have you heard that financial engines will no longer be available to you as an associate?
This is astonishing. This is a guy who's blatantly going on the radio, running advertising, claiming that we're out of business. This is amazing. We were getting phone calls from some of our own clients, panicked, saying, oh my goodness, what's happened to you? We have no idea why this guy decided to do this. And it's astonishing that he did. So here's the short answer. Edelman Financial Engines is in fine shape. Quite frankly, we're the biggest independent registered investment advisor in the country. We have more than $212 billion in assets under management. We're serving 1.2 million American families all across the country. And, you know, let's face it, when you're the biggest in the business, you know, you become a target. Unscrupulous people, folks who are finding themselves unable to effectively compete with you, are become desperate sometimes, and they start to say and do things of an inappropriate, unprofessional, and quite frankly, tortuous nature, where it's just sad and unfortunate. So we're hopeful that nobody got overly scared by this guy's claims. As soon as we heard about it, we notified the radio station, which immediately pulled the ads from the air. The radio station was embarrassed. It's not their fault. I mean, radio stations, it's not their job to vet every ad that they place on the air. That's not their obligation. And so it's just sad and unfortunate. So I mention this to you because it's not the first time this kind of thing has happened. Every so often, we hear of a story where someone is making a claim about Edelman Financial Engines or about me. They're trying to make themselves look good by trying to knock us down. All I could say is the following. Number one, my first message to these guys who try to think that knocking me down makes them look better. You don't make yourself more professional by disparaging another professional. You don't make yourself look good by bashing somebody else. So the first sign is if somebody is using as their sales pitch to convince you to become their client that the only thing they have to say is why the other guy isn't any good, well, that's a red flag, quite frankly. And second, if you happen to hear of someone saying something about me or Edelman Financial Engines, and you're not sure it sounds right, or if you have questions about it, all you got to do is call us. Just call 888-PLAN-RICK and say, hey, here's what I heard. Is it true? What do I need to know? And you can be certain that we'll set the record straight for you in no time. And here's the funniest part of the whole story. While this guy is out there saying this,
have you heard that Financial Engines will no longer be available to you as an associate?
Quite frankly, I'm not even sure what the sentence means, to you as an associate, but that's beside the point. While he's busy running those ads saying this, saying that Financial Engines is no longer in business, guess where I was? Guess what I was doing? I was in Austin giving a keynote address to the North American Securities Administrators Association. I'm standing on stage in front of about 250 state securities regulators and members of the SEC, talking with them about this very subject, about the issue of how important it is that we pay attention to consumer protection in the field of Wall Street. And so while I'm sitting there talking with regulators, we've got some guy running ads on a radio station saying whatever it is he was saying. I'm Rick Edelman, proud to be here to serve you, proud to do what is in your best interest, as all of us are here at Edelman Financial Engines, and we're going to be here for a long, long time. 888-PLAN-RICK, if we can help you, that's 888-752-6742, online at rickedelman.com, that's ricedelman.com.
The founder of one of the nation's largest independent investment advisory firms, coming up on The Rick Edelman Show.
Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of The Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In 3 decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard, and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And, well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage. It's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are 2 pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Have a light switch that won't switch? Or an AC unit that won't cool? Call SeaTown Electric Heating and Air today and receive $50 off any service call. They're Washington's troubleshooting specialists. For 5-star service every time, call SeaTown Electric Heating and Air at 206-209-0690 or go to seatownservices.com.
SeaTown Electric Heating and Air. Call SeaTown Electric Heating and Air.
Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of The Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In 3 decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And, well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage. It's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are 2 pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com. You're listening to The Rick Edelman Show. We talk often about the state of retirement readiness here in the United States, or frankly, the lack thereof. And I like to bring on experts onto the program who can really drill down and help us understand the situation so that you can help make sure that your financial future is everything you want it to be. So I'm very happy to bring back onto the program someone we've had here on the program in the past, Steve Vernon. He's a research scholar at Stanford University's Center on Longevity, where I'm on the advisory board. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Rick, thanks for having me back again.
So you just published a pretty exhaustive report with some of your colleagues. This thing is, how many pages is this? This is
100 pages when you consider all the analyses and graphs.
Yeah, it's a big report. And I want to highlight one page in particular, page 46. The report is called The Viability of the Spend Safely in Retirement Strategy, where you work hard to help hardworking Americans, middle-class Americans, figure out how they can spend money in retirement without running out of money before they die, right? That's the big fear everybody has, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
So I want to highlight page 46, and the reason is that it shows something really quite astonishing. The notion, I think this came about just out of Americana over the decades. We all know that we're eligible to begin receiving Social Security benefits in retirement starting at age 62. You don't have to start at 62. You can delay your benefits for as long as you want. And in fact, the longer you delay, the more you'll eventually start to collect all the way up to age 70. So it raises the question, should you start to take benefits at 62 or should you in fact wait? And I think most folks are in agreement that for a lot of cases, delaying makes sense, especially. And Steve, I want you to tell me if you agree with this, especially if you're still working. If you're still employed, taking the benefits at 62 doesn't make nearly as much sense as waiting, right?
That's absolutely right, because Social Security applies what they call the earnings test, and it applies from age 62 to your full retirement age. And if you work and start Social Security while you're working, there's a good chance they might reduce your Social Security benefit to offset it by your wages. So it makes no sense to keep working substantially and take Social Security before your full retirement age. Now, once you hit your full retirement age, you can work and earn as much as you want, and there'll be no cutback in your Social Security benefit.
And your full retirement age for most of us is 66-ish.
It's 66-ish for people at that age now, and it gradually increases to age 67 for viewers who are in their mid-50s or younger.
So here's the point I want to highlight, that you have this fabulous chart. It just hits you like a 2x4. It is so clear and convincing on page 46 of your report that compares someone who starts to take Social Security benefits at 62 versus waits until they're age 70. And what your data shows is that the person who starts to take Social Security benefits at 62, a middle-income couple, and you're assuming that they both retire at 62, they both start Social Security benefits and so on, that they're going to receive about $37,000 a year. But if they wait until 70, instead of getting 37 grand, they get 70 grand. That's pretty powerful.
Rick, you're right. They almost double their retirement income by waiting. Now, I acknowledge not everybody's going to want to wait until age 70. And so the graph you're referring to does show a middle ground, which is waiting until your full retirement age, which for this couple was 66 and a half. And they still get a substantial increase in their retirement income.
Yeah, they get 53,000. I mean, this is so powerful. What people, I think, fail to comprehend is that delaying retirement just a year or two or three has a massive impact on how much income you can have in retirement.
Rick, you are so right. And my hope is that older workers will have this kind of information so that they can make more informed choices. Because a lot of people just don't realize what you and I are talking about right now.
I think you're right. I think what a lot of folks assume is that they have to keep working until they're 75 or 80 or 85. We're talking about a couple of years, not a couple of decades, that are going to have a massive impact on your retirement income.
Well, right. And so my hope is that financial advisors and the financial industry community will band together to try and get this kind of information to their clients so that people can just make better choices.
And let me mention one other aspect to this. I'm not necessarily suggesting, I don't think you are either, Steve, that people continue working at their current job, starting at age 62 all the way to age 70. It could simply be that you retire from the occupation that you have where you're working 50 hours a week, making 100 grand plus, and you go into some part-time work, maybe making 20 grand a year. That little bit of extra income goes an incredibly long way to helping your overall retirement savings last.
Well, exactly right, Rick. And in fact, the graph you referred to on page 46 does show what we call a downshifting strategy. So say you're age 62 and you're just tired of the grind. Well, you don't have to retire full time. You could work part time, make just enough money to delay taking your Social Security and delay drawing down your savings, but you still add some time to free up to enjoy life more. There's not much of a difference between your retirement income if you downshift versus your retirement income if you keep working full time.
And I think
so I just want to put out there another idea to people in their early 60s who are tired of the grind. It's not all or nothing, retirement or continue working full time. There's a middle ground there.
And I think what it means is we need to rethink the notion of retirement. That's a key function of the work that we're doing at Stanford's Center on Longevity, is helping people reimagine the future, recognizing that our retirement years are not going to be like they were for our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents, that our life expectancies are so much longer than theirs were. We're not only living longer, we're living healthier, thanks to improvements in health care as well as nutrition and exercise. I mean, we're not eating the way that our grandparents did. We're not smoking like they did. We're not drinking like they did. We're exercising like they didn't. We're living healthier longer as well. So you're going to want to stay active, and that means you're going to have the opportunity to earn money on a part-time basis that you'll find fulfilling and enjoyable as well as economically rewarding.
Well, right. And actually, I encourage people to think of their 60s and 70s instead of a period of retirement. It's more a period of financial independence or freedom. And maybe their financial resources let them be free to pick work that's more enjoyable or not quite as robust as they're when they were working full-time. But at least they have financial plans in place to give them freedom and independence. I like those words for your 60s and 70s.
So, Steve, if somebody wanted to get a copy of this report, how can they do so?
Well, go to the Stanford Center on Longevity. We have a publications page, and it's right there. Since that report published last week, it's the first one there because we publish chronologically. So that's the best way to find that report.
The report is called Viability of the Spend Safely in Retirement Strategy. And I have to tease you about one aspect of the report, Steve.
Okay.
One of the key elements of your report, one of the goals you had, was being able to help consumers figure out how they can spend safely in retirement without having to need the services of a financial advisor. And that's a really laudable goal because most Americans, let's face it, I mean, we know I am a financial advisor, so I've got a stake in this game, but let's face it, most Americans don't have financial advisors, don't have access to one, don't feel they can afford one, don't feel that they can trust one, who knows what. So it's, I think, admirable that Stanford Center on Longevity is trying to help folks figure out how to do this without the aid of a financial advisor, right?
Well, yeah, and I realize the irony that I'm talking with you, Rick, who heads a financial advisory firm. So we aren't telling people don't work with an advisor. We're telling people that if you're like the many, particularly middle-income people that don't work with advisors, here's something that you can use. But even better is to understand the strategy and then have an informed conversation with your advisor so that you can work together with your advisor to put together a plan that works best for you.
And that's the part I'm going to tease you about, because on page 7, you say, we suggest that older workers and retirees develop an optimal strategy by working with a qualified retirement advisor. So
there you go.
And on page 9, the older worker or retiree may still need help from a financial advisor to understand and implement the strategy. And finally, on page 22, staying invested in stocks during a downturn takes discipline and courage. And not everybody might have that on their own, but the aid of a financial advisor might help. So,
Rick, I couldn't agree more. So, actually, if you look at the report and all the potential refinements that we offer to the strategy, it does get somewhat complex and offsets the original simplicity. So I'm a big fan of working with advisors, but having an informed conversation.
And that's so really, I couldn't agree more. The real key is to make sure you're conversational about this subject matter so that you can have a meaningful dialogue with a financial advisor. You can understand what they're talking about, and you can error check them as well to make sure that the advice they're giving you is truly in your best interest.
Well, right, and actually, key elements of the strategy we're advocating, a lot of financial planners would advocate as well. So delaying Social Security, that's a centerpiece of our strategy.
Yes.
And I've got to believe a lot of financial advisors would agree.
Absolutely.
Deciding on the appropriate asset allocation for your savings during retirement, that's a critical assumption. And if you can have an informed conversation with your advisor about that, that you're only going to have better outcomes.
Couldn't agree with you more. We're talking with Steve Vernon. He's a research scholar at Stanford University's Center on Longevity. His report is The Viability of the Spend Safely in Retirement Strategy, which you can get at Stanford's Center on Longevity. Go to the publications page. Steve, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Rick, thanks for helping us help your listeners.
You can learn more about their work as well as the work we're doing at the Funding Our Future Coalition by going to fundingourfuture.us. It's real simple. We want to make it easier for Americans to save, help you provide income that you can't outlive, and to save our Social Security system. You can learn more about all of this at fundingourfuture.us. Stay with us. 888-PLAN-RICK online at ricedelman.com.
With the author of the number one national bestseller, The Truth About Retirement Plans and IRAs, coming up on The Rick Edelman Show.
Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of The Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In 3 decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard, and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And, well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage. It's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are 2 pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
If you're a sports fan, you just can't beat Xfinity for the ultimate sports experience, short of being on the field itself. It'll make your life simple, easy, awesome. Hi, I'm Tom Tangney. Xfinity One offers so much sports info that it can make every fan an expert. Of course, it automatically records all my UW and Hawks games, so I'll never have to miss a play, let alone a game. And yes, I tend to watch them live, but I can watch them later offline if I want on the Xfinity Stream app. You know, it's amazing how chock-full the Xfinity Sports app is. I can not only get live scores on college and pro football games, but also on the baseball playoff races and the pro hockey circuit. I can also sign up for text notification for whenever a game is starting. Can you believe it? A text! All thanks to the Xfinity Sports app. Don't miss a minute of the action. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit your local Xfinity store and experience everything they have to offer. Restrictions apply.
Watch Easy Run Run!
This guy can do it all!
They're going crazy here!
How about that?
He's a new all-time hit king in Major League history, number 258!
Leaps up and he makes the catch at the top of the wall!
Easy Run! You are unbelievable!
Look at that rocket!
He's intact! They got it!
They love this guy in a Mariner uniform.
What a year for this young man from Japan!
Ichiro has the franchise record for hits.
It doesn't get any better than that!
Join us for Ichiro Celebration Night this Saturday as we celebrate a Seattle icon and baseball legend. A special pregame presentation begins at 5:45, and the first 20,000 fans receive an Ichiro bobblehead thanks to Root Sports. Tickets at Mariners.com.
Another Ichiro Saturday night in Seattle!
We'll take some telephone calls here on the Rick Edelman Show. Off to Jeanette, PA, to talk with Daniel. How are you doing, Daniel? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rick. My question is regarding paying off debt. On one of your radio shows a few weeks back, someone called in and asked about the best way to pay off debt. You mentioned to the caller Dave Ramsey's snowball method of paying off debt, but did not say anything disparaging about that method of paying off debt, which surprised me. Ramsey advises his clients to pay off debt according to size, paying off the smallest size debt first, regardless of interest rate. If one had a 6.5% home equity line of credit and an 18% credit card debt and had extra money to pay off some debt, Ramsey would advise that person to pay extra on the lower 6.5% debt before paying extra on the higher 18% debt, thereby taking longer to pay off total debt and keeping his client in debt for a longer period of time. And it's advice that one cannot support with simple logic and simple math. Am I missing anything?
Yes, you are missing something. You referred to math, you referred to logic, and you are correct. Anybody with a spreadsheet can see that paying off high interest debt first makes a lot more sense than paying off low interest debt. I mean, stop the bleeding, right? If the high interest debt is costing you more money, get rid of that first. Logically, mathematically, you're absolutely correct. So why does Dave Ramsey tell people to do the opposite? Well, here's why. Because Dave isn't crazy, and that's why, as you noted, when I talked about Dave's strategy on the show a couple of weeks ago, I didn't beat him up. I didn't accuse him of being a crook or an idiot at all. And here's why. Although I personally agree with you that paying off a high interest debt is the better approach because it gets rid of your debt faster, Dave Ramsey isn't crazy. And let me explain why. What Dave is recognizing is that many people do not act logically. They act emotionally. And as a result, what Dave has come to realize is that when you help people logically, it doesn't motivate them to change their behaviors. And so what Dave has said is that, look, let's say that you've got a very small, low-interest debt and a very big, high-interest debt. His attitude is, if you pay off the low-interest debt, even though it's a very small amount, you'll psychologically score a win. And seeing that credit card get paid off is such a morale booster, it'll motivate you to tackle the bigger debt. As opposed to being so frustrated and despondent over your desperate efforts to get rid of the high interest debt, which could take years to get rid of, and discourage you along the way so that you end up never making any progress. So Dave is recognizing that for many people, the emotional approach trumps the logical approach. Does that make sense? So I agree with you completely, but we do have to acknowledge that sometimes you encounter some people for whom that falls on deaf ears. They simply are not motivated by spreadsheets or logic or math, or they are befuddled by those subjects and they don't understand compound interest. They don't grasp percentages. They don't understand the rationale, and they want to feel good about what they're doing. And so given the choice of doing good or doing better, well, I'll choose the good if I have to. You'll end up improving your situation, perhaps not as fast as you otherwise might, but you're at least moving in the right direction. So I like the fact that people are considering a variety of approaches and strategies so that they can decide for themselves which is best. If you're making an informed decision, we think you'll make the decision that is best for you, even if some might argue it really isn't best in its absolute, but it's best for you.
Okay. Well, I do thank you for your input, Rick.
Daniel, thank you so much for the phone call. I really appreciate it. You're listening to The Rick Edelman Show. Let me ask you a question. Do you have an IRA? And have you ever taken money from your IRA, made a withdrawal, prior to age 59 and a half? The IRS has been doing a review of taxpayers who have done this because, as you know, when you take a withdrawal from your IRA, you have to report it as taxable income. And if you're under age 59 and a half, you also have to pay a 10% IRS penalty. So the IRS takes a pretty close look at people who do declare that they've taken money from an IRA if they're under the age of 59 and a half. The IRS wants to know if you owe that 10% penalty or not. And they found that a lot of people who took the money out of the account didn't pay the 10% penalty with their tax return. Why not? Because they thought they didn't have to. The IRS says that 40% of the time, they're wrong. They did have to pay the penalty, and they failed to do so. Now, wait a minute. If you're under the age of 59 and a half, and you take a withdrawal, there's a 10% penalty. But the IRS only found that 40% owed the penalty. How come everybody didn't owe the penalty? The reason is this. There are exceptions to the rule. You are allowed, in some cases, to take money out of an IRA prior to age 59 and a half without having to pay the 10% penalty. And a lot of folks were taking advantage of those exceptions. But 40% of the time, they got it wrong. So I want to make sure you understand this. I want to make sure you realize that if you're taking money from an IRA prior to age 59 and a half, I want you to make sure you know whether or not you truly can avoid the 10% penalty. For example, if you're a first-time home buyer, you don't have to pay the penalty. So yes, Congress says you can take money from your IRA, regardless of your age, and as long as you use the money to help yourself buy a house, it's either to buy or build a primary home. And oh, by the way, it doesn't have to be your home. You're saying to yourself, look, I'm already in my 50s. I already own a home. Well, how does that help me? You can do this for buying a house for a child, a grandchild, even a parent or a grandparent. In other words, you can withdraw up to $10,000 from your IRA, even if you're under age 59 and a half, and you don't have to pay the penalty on that 10 grand as long as the money is being used to buy or build a primary home for a first-time home buyer. And if it ain't you, if it ain't your spouse, it can be your kid, your grandkid, your parent, or your grandparent. You can also pull the money out of your IRA to use the money for higher education, college tuition, books, computers, supplies, room and board, provided that the student is enrolled at least half-time. You can take the money out of your IRA without a 10% penalty. By the way, those expenses have to be paid in the year of the withdrawal. So if you take the money out in 2019, you've got to use it to pay 2019 college costs. You can't pay for college costs in 2020 if you withdrew the money in 2019. So be careful about the timing of the withdrawal. By the way, you cannot do that with a 401k, only an IRA. You can also use the money to pay medical expenses for yourself, for your spouse, or for any dependent. And again, you've got to pay the medical bill in the year you make the withdrawal. You can also, in some cases, if you're unemployed, use the money in your IRA to buy health insurance. So there are lots of conditions, lots of exceptions that exist to that 10% rule that you should take advantage of. And oh, by the way, one final point. For all of these issues, you shouldn't do any of them. Your IRA is for retirement. It isn't for buying homes, paying for college, or medical expenses. So if you've got challenges in your life, that's why you call us. 888-PLAN-RICK. Online at ricedelman.com. It's all the time I've got. Thanks for being with me here this week. That's a wrap.
As a reward, you'll have no radio for the rest of the week. Go to your room.
See you next week.
Get the truth about money every weekend on The Rick Edelman Show.